Good morning or afternoon, as the case may be, and welcome everyone to the TGS NOPEC third quarter conference call. My name is Hank Hamilton, and I'm the CEO of the company. Joining me today are Arna Helland, our CFO, and John Adanek, our Vice President of Business Development. First of all, I trust that most, if not all of you, have had the opportunity to view the webcast that we posted earlier today, our third quarter results, and as well as the actual earnings release itself. I'd like to start off the call with just a very brief recap of some of the key points from that presentation, and then we'll open the call up for questions from the listeners. So our third quarter results we were quite pleased with. Our net revenues were $43.5 million, which is a 36% increase over the same quarter a year ago. Our pre-tax profit was $14.3 million, which is up 55% from the $9.2 million in the same quarter a year ago. Our quarterly earnings per share were 36 cents undiluted compared to 22 cents in the same quarter a year ago. And we saw a nice flow through of the on profitability from the extra revenues, thanks to the fact that our amortization rate was at 43%, which was below a year ago, and well within our expected range. Our gross late sales for the quarter were $31.3 million, and that's up 28% from a year ago. And particularly strong for us were the U.S. Gulf of Mexico and the Europe geographical areas. We also had a significant increase in our pre-funding rate, which was 62% for the quarter. On the operations side, we completed the acquisition phase of three very significant 2D campaigns, one offshore eastern Russia in the Sea of Okhotsk, one in Indonesia, and one in the North Sea, which was a continuation of our North Sea Renaissance for long offset projects. We also secured pre-funding to expand once again our major 3D project, Deep Resolve, in the Gulf of Mexico. I believe this is the third time we've announced an expansion of that project. And we also were able to secure pre-funding to follow up that project with a full-volume 3D pre-stack depth migration project over the entire area. We made a lot of progress during the quarter with the integration of NewTek into TGS Imaging. And during the quarter, we actually increased the throughput capacity of that center by about 50% since July when we first purchased it. It was good to see that our backlog showed a very healthy development quarter by about 28% from the previous quarter to a total of $29.4 million. In conclusion, we would say that overall our market conditions are improving as oil companies gain confidence that the relatively higher oil prices we see are not a short-term aberration but are here to stay for a while. We do see that our quarter-to-quarter predictability of late sales revenues is still a challenge, but at the same time we do expect to achieve our original target of approximately 15% full-year net revenue growth. And that excludes the contribution that we will get from the NewTek contract revenues. So at this point, we'd like to open up the call to questions from the listeners. And if you have a question, please press the star key followed by one.
First question, Mr. Janssen, ABG.
Yes. Hello. Good morning, Eric. I have a question regarding the mix of revenues in the third quarter. They were, more or less as usual, skewed towards the 2001 vintage. What can you give us in terms of visibility on the other vintages, particularly the 2003-2004 data? Do you have any sense of when you'll be able to improve the sales profile for those two vintages?
You know, if you look back at our 2001 vintage, the sheer volume library, during that year was enormous compared to the other vintages. That contained 200,000 kilometers of 2D from Brazil, the huge 14,000 square kilometer 3D from Mississippi Canyon, as well as a number of other large projects. So, and those projects happen to be particularly well situated for what oil companies are looking at right now. So it's not a surprise to us that that continues to perform well. The graph that we show on a quarterly basis that shows the split of revenues, you know, the bars on the sales, by definition, have to add up to 100%. So when one vintage outperforms or performs very well, it forces the other ones to look like they don't perform very well. So I think it's a little bit misleading. And in fact, you mentioned the 2003 vintage. You know, if you go back and total that up over the last three quarters, that's actually performing quite well. We're happy with it, and it's, you know, it's right on, smack on our expectation level. So we feel quite good about that. And of course, the 2004 work progress revenues were extremely good during the third quarter as well. You know, the 2002 vintage, we've talked about that on a number of occasions, and it has been a slow mover up to now, primarily because it's located mostly in real frontier areas, which we're finding out do have a slower sales cycle. But, you know, the good news is that we've written it down to, I think, 31% of its original cost, so we don't have much exposure left. And at the same time, we feel like there's quite a big upside still left in that vintage. So I think, you know, the sales mix will move around quarter to quarter, and we look at it as a portfolio, and the overall portfolio continues to perform extremely well.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Tveitred in Skildal.
Hello, also here. I got some questions starting with 2005. What kind of E&P spending growth do you expect today?
You know, also, we haven't really prepared our comments for 2005 yet. You know, what our day-to-day conversations with customers indicate that they do plan to ramp up spending. I don't want to put a percentage on that yet, but it's clear that the overall confidence level among our customers is getting stronger. So we will come out with some commentary about expectations for 2005 in the not-too-distant future.
If you are looking on the exploration side compared to the production side of investment from oil and gas companies, the exploration side has been strongly underperforming for the last 5-6 years. I think you mentioned some quarters ago that in 2004, exploration will still be lagging in 2004. Do you still expect this is the case, and what do we expect in 2005 for exploration versus production investment? Do you see some change in the mix here?
The feeling is that mix is just now starting to shift a little bit. You know, the whole issue of when peak oil production, when might occur, is getting a lot more press, and I think the mainstream thinking is shifting a little bit, that's not as far out into the future as people originally thought. And so I think the mentality and the psychology is starting to shift a little bit more back towards exploration. We're having a number of conversations with oil companies who are interested in reviewing what we can show them in, you know, totally untested areas. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a shift there now in 2005.
Mm. The next maybe main trigger for TGS Nopec is clearly the Central Gulf of Mexico lease sale now in March 2005, where you are seeing the first hand out of deepwater blocks back from 1995. Could you please elaborate a bit what have you seen from your clients regarding interest? Because I understand from a lot of your competitors that the interest have really increased strongly due to the new blocks to be offered.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to let John Adamic answer that question, okay?
So we definitely are starting to see some increased interest from our clients in some of the areas of. As you know, there are a lot of blocks, particularly in the deep water, that will be becoming available. Not so many in 2005. There is an uptick in 2005, but really 2006, 2007, 2008, there will be a lot of blocks which are due to expire. But this is going to be quite a substantial number of blocks, and we are starting to see companies who are telling us and, you know, starting to make buying decisions to get positioned for those lease rounds, not just for 2005, though, but even looking further out than that.
Okay. My last question, if I could get one more question, please. It's regarding the deep shelf gas play, because you have put a lot of that effort and a lot of dollar in investing in this region. What kind of clients are you seeing? Is it right that some of the super majors are going back to this play again? And what's the reason the interest? Because you are really dependent of selling some of these data next year and the years afterwards.
Yes. We feel very good about that play. So the we thought all along that it was going to be something that developed over time, because it is a risky play, expensive to drill, and we anticipated that you know, it would evolve over time, and that's what's happening. What we're seeing today is very encouraging. We're seeing some of the very large companies, the super majors actually, looking at this play. BP went to the last lease sale offshore Texas and bought up just about every piece of land on the Texas shelf, shallow water, and clearly everyone believes they are looking at deep targets there. So that's one example of a super major actually buying land and getting ready for play. We've also seen activity from the big boys over in offshore Louisiana. We know that Exxon, for example, has a very deep well planned to spud next month. So the bigs are there, but really the ones that are doing most of the drilling right now, most of the actual drilling has been occurring in 18 to 20,000 feet, and it's been by really fairly small independents. Newfield was one of the early players, El Paso. Today, what we're seeing is McMoran, which is a company quite active in the Gulf of Mexico, drilling 20,000-foot wells, not just in one core area, but in several.
I would add also that, you know, we did see a significant uptick in our customer base in Deep Resolve during the third quarter, and it was scattered all over the place. It was not just a very, very small one as well, so... It was an encouraging sign, I would say.
You know, we have said for some time that the play, or I have, that the play has become a bit fractionated. And many of the analysts only think of the very, very deep, the things that Exxon and BP might be chasing at 25,000 feet. And clearly that's important to the trend. But for us as the seismic data owners and licensors of seismic data, it's very important that the upper part of this play in 15 to 17,000 feet and then the next track down to 20,000 feet is being drilled and is being looked at by a number of smaller companies. That expands our client base, and that, of course, makes the surveys even more attractive.
Okay, thank you very much for good answers and a very good quarter.
Next, Mr. Leisen from Carnegie.
Hi there, gentlemen. A couple of questions. First, regarding your guidance for the year, just so I get it correct, you're guiding on 15% top line growth compared to last year, plus any new revenues from new tech. According to my calculation, that would imply a top line of 44 million in Q4 plus new tech. First question, what's the ballpark estimate you have for new tech revenues in Q4?
You know, we're probably looking at on the order of $1 million, something like that. Just another comment, John. You're kind of forcing us into a situation of quarterly guidance, which is something that we have very clearly wanted to stay away from. We could tweak the total yearly guidance at this stage, but then it becomes really a game of giving updated quarterly guidance. And because of visibility issues that we've talked about so many times, we just don't want to do that. And that was some of the rationale behind, you know, leaving it where we had it.
All right, I see. So you, well, But you're still guiding on the year, though, and we only have one quarter to go, so...
I guess
it gives quite a good indication of the Q4. Another question on Q4, on the multi-client investment side. You invested $74 million so far this year, and you're guiding on somewhere above 80. Could you get a bit more accurate? Are we talking about closer to 90 or closer to 80, or how much will investments be in roughly in Q4?
It'll wind up less than 85 on operational investments. You know, what's happened is we're pretty much finished with our 2D acquisition for the year. We completed everything in the third quarter.
Mm.
And then on our 3D acquisition, we kind of had a little bit of a hiatus as well because the vessel in dry dock for several weeks during the quarter. So
okay.
We'll see the coming down quite significantly.
Yeah.
Right, so we're talking just over 80 or closer to 90, what kind of levels are we?
I'd say 85 or less.
85 or less, right.
So you're going to perform in, okay?
Richard, maybe you could mute. But another couple of questions. Again, it's a bit more detailed regarding your guidance. If you expect roughly 10 million in multi-client investments, if I just assume 50% pre-funding on that, it means that you will have around 5 million in pre-funding, and you're guiding roughly 44, 45 on top line in Q4. Which will imply roughly 40 million in late sales, which should be up 26-27% compared to last year. Any more indications where you should see that strong growth?
You mean geographically?
Geographically, yeah.
I think we have good leads in just about every part of the world at the moment. And I don't know exactly which ones we're going to close up during the quarter, so. My expectation is that we're going to see a good distribution geographically.
Hmm. Would there be any in particular drivers except for the Gulf of March Gulf Mexico Gulf round?
That's the main one and the biggest one by far. We may also see something related to the licensing round offshore Liberia, but again, that's going to be a much smaller impact.
Hmm. Okay, thanks a lot, gentlemen. That's all for me. Thanks a lot.
Next, Mr. Bjørn Gitalesen from DNB Nord Markets.
Good afternoon. This is Bjørn Gitalesen. I have two questions. It's a follow-up on the other ones you had just recently from where the impact will come. You said you completed the acquisition of three significant projects in Sea of Okhotsk and North Sea Renaissance and Makassar. Are all these three now sellable, or can we expect some income from these now in Q4? And my second question is also a follow-up on an earlier question. And, you stated last quarter that there was a movement having more balanced clients base now and with majors coming back a little. Is there another, is that still the case? Are the majors coming even stronger back, or are they, or is it still the same as it was end of Q2?
Your first question on when the 2D projects are going to be available for sale, we completed the acquisition phase on all of those right at the very end of the quarter. And it normally takes about 8 weeks or so after that to finish up all of the processing. With 2D, you don't have to finish every single bit of the processing before you can start selling the product. But in any case, I would say that the vast majority of that data is going to be available, at least in December. So we should see, we hope to see some sales on all of those projects during the fourth quarter. Regarding the client mix and the activity of the majors, in my mind, it's just been kind of a steady increase in interest levels from those guys over the past year. They're not by any means getting rid of all of their old risk aversions. I mean, that they are a very risk-averse group, and if you read their statements in most of their third quarter conference calls, they say we're not going to take all of our excess cash and just throw it right into exploration. We're going to do some other things. So it's a muted response, but it is an improving response, and a steadily improving response.
Okay, thanks.
Next, Mr. Hula, CAR.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, Mr. Hula, go ahead, please.
Okay, I'm not aware. You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I was wondering whether we could go a little bit more into 05 and there's two questions there. If you could give some idea of, I don't know, I know you don't have the budget as of yet, but give some indication of whether you yourself would increase investments. And we have also noted that the contract market has improved, and do you see that can give you some cost problems for securing surveys in 05?
Okay. First of all, let me say that I think the vessel market is tightening, and I think there is evidence out there of, you know, price increases in the contract market. So that's something that we will have to work into our plan and manage carefully. I think we have already secured a lot of the 3D capacity in particular that we're going to need to achieve our next year's plan. We have some 2D capacity as well, and we'll be looking to add to that. So yeah, that does factor into our thinking. We're not ready to talk about what our investment levels are going to be in 2005 yet. We're still putting that plan together. You know, in the past we have tended to behave sometimes a little bit counter-cyclically, and many times we're increasing our investments when the market is soft, and then slowing them down a little when the market, you know, gets tighter. That's a possibility, but as I say, we haven't really made a plan yet, and a firm plan. We're still working on it, and we'll give more guidance on our investment levels next time.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Spacelight, Jens Gildo.
Just one more question regarding year-end spending, because in your industry, and especially in the seismic market, you are always every year seeing some kind of year-end spending effect from oil and gas companies using the remaining part of their budget. Are you seeing some signs this year what we could expect compared to the previous years? Are some money still available to be spent on seismic?
Well, so we certainly hope so. We don't have great visibility on that. They don't really tell us what they've got left. You know, we do know that we are actively providing a lot of quotations right now, which is always a good sign. And you never know for sure whether it's going to be something that's going to be concluded this year or whether it's something that oil companies are going to want to buy as soon as they get their new budget for next year. So it's hard to say. The visibility isn't good, but certainly the activity on providing price quotations is quite high.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Horvathsson from Pareto.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have a question to you regarding, in March next year, there will be both the Central and Eastern Lee sales in the Gulf. Is that another upside for you? It means that you will have even stronger effect from Lee sales in March than you normally have. And the second question is regarding the North Sea. You see a lot of new independents entering the North Sea, both in Norway and UK. Have you seen any implication of that yet?
Frank, I'll handle, John Adamic here, I'll handle the question about the Gulf of Mexico. I assume you're referring to the fact that the Eastern Gulf Round has been combined with the Central Gulf Round.
That's right.
And that, we'll see some effect from that. We do have data in that area. But the thing I would point out is, as you know, when the government started leasing in the Eastern Gulf again a few years ago, they reduced the area down to a small region. We had planned
the land has gone through two lease rounds in the last 3 years, and there are only 124 blocks which are available in that region in the lease round coming up. So Epsilon Minerals Management combined them because there's just not that much land available in the Eastern Gulf. You'll see some effect, but it won't be substantial.
Okay.
I think it's 124 blocks available in the Eastern Gulf compared to over 4,000. So the Eastern Gulf part. Regarding your question about the new entrance into the North Sea and whether we're seeing, I think we're seeing the beginnings of it. I think we're seeing a little bit of it. Very small companies, they can't afford a lot on seismic data right up. See that as the attractive potential market, and we're focusing on it quite a bit. In particular, in Norway, we see that our potential for seismic data, 40 companies, whereas it was 12. So something that's a positive sign for us. We've seen how aggressive are going to be at hours on seismic, but football.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Henderson, no further questions.
Okay, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you at the end of the fourth quarter.